Wherever you are, we are. Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
I'm Roland Martin. Today on News One Now, an apology from the McKinney, Texas cop who tackled and sat on a black teen after a fight at a pool party. And the white woman who started the fight is put on leave on her job. We'll explain. The NYPD commissioner says he can't hire black cops because too many black men have gotten arrested. Why don't you stop and frisk, and then you might not have a problem. A new housing crisis is looming as minorities are locked out of buying homes. How this could be a huge problem when it comes to wealth creation for the next several generations. Also, two sisters win the world's largest business idea contest with a social media app. They're here to talk about it. Plus, we've got some crazy news stories on What the Hell Thursday. It's time to bring the funk on News One Now on TV One. Texas cop Eric Case Bolt apologized through his attorney for tackling a teenager and pulling his gun on others at a pool party. Case Bolt, a 10-year veteran of the McKinney Police Department, who's also a supervisor and also vice president of the Fraternal Order Police, resigned after the incident. His attorney, Jane Bishkin, had this to say at a news conference yesterday.
I'm here today as his legal representative to give you Eric Case Bolt's perspective. The video that everyone has seen only depicts a small part of Eric's actions that day. Two suicide calls took an emotional toll on Eric Case Bolt. He believed that those who fled were possible suspects. He was not targeting minorities. With all that had happened that day, he allowed his emotions to get the better of him.
Of course, that's her giving his apology. And of course, the police chief there said he absolutely crossed the line and he was in the wrong as well. And of course, we all know, we've seen the video. Now, the police, this all took place after the police responded to a fight between two white women and teens at the party. One of those women, Tracy Carver Albritton, has been put on administrative leave from her job with a mortgage loan company. Here's the video here. And you see this particular fight here as well. On the panel, George Curry, editor-in-chief, National Newspaper Publishers Association, Angela Ride, principal and CEO at Impact Strategies, David Swerlick, assistant editor at The Washington Post. So it's interesting in terms of now the apology. He resigns. What about all those folks who were sitting here defending Case Bolt? Poor little Megyn Kelly. Poor little all these other folks who were saying that he was right and you should obey the actions of the cops. Bottom line is, I knew the moment he quit that he knew I'm screwed. Because at the end of the day, his actions, if you look at what he did compared to the other officers, he was grossly out of line. Yeah. And I think the attorney also said that he's very stressed because apparently he responded to two suicide calls earlier in the day or something along those lines.
So, go ahead.
No, sorry. The point is, like, you know, you're a police officer, you're supposed to deal with stress. It was just indefensible. He had to go one way or the other, and there's no explanation for defending him whatsoever.
Yeah, I think that the reality of this situation, Roland, if it wasn't for the video footage, we would still be fighting whose story was right.
Absolutely.
Or wrong. If it wasn't for those officers who told him to put his gun away, there would probably be a dead black teen now. If it wasn't for the fact that this guy was fresh off the set of a G.I. Joe video game, I mean, did you see the stop, drop, and roll turnaround at the beginning? I mean, it's crazy. So I just wonder what else needs to be shown for people to understand that there are a lot, not just a few, a lot of rogue law enforcement officers who live out their dreams of being war heroes on black kids. I just don't know what else needs to be done.
David,
and I don't think his resignation is enough, just like the little girl said.
David,
it's not enough.
David, this is I said this beforehand, to Angela's point, why the video matters.
Right.
And for all these folks out here, many of them in white America, who keep saying that, oh, you guys keep making this stuff up. No. You're now seeing every week.
Yeah.
And it's going to be every day,
right?
More video, and more video. And so we play this game of don't sully all cops. We're seeing, it's not a few examples, it's a lot of folks, and it's a problem. And what's interesting to me is people are going to have to wake up and go, uh-oh, when these body cameras come, we're going to see some stuff that we thought was crazy. Now it's going to be shot from the cops' perspective.
Mm-hmm. Right, and these incidents keep rolling out, as you said, one after another. And the narrative this week, as you alluded to, was starting to be on cable news, oh, what's wrong with these kids? These kids didn't heed what the cops were telling them.
Kids out of control.
Kids out of control. But as people got to scrutinize the video, that's when this fell apart quickly on this officer, and that's why you saw this officer resign so quickly and his attorney apologize so quickly.
And you also have this woman, okay, because again, the narrative was, oh, it was too many kids there. They were breaking the rules.
Right.
Now we find out, no, this was where this fight was taking place. And now Tracy Carver Allbritton, she's got some explaining to do. And her company has now put her on administrative leave.
You know, I think what irks people, not only is this so gross, to see the contrast within a matter of weeks with how the bikers were treated, most of the white bikers were treated in Waco, Texas. Yeah. I mean, you're glad to sit
right
on the phone.
Where nine people were killed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, anybody knows how that story has just dissipated?
That's right.
Has just gone away. I mean, yeah, you saw the images of them, you know, behind yellow crime tape, checking their phones, text messaging, you know, sending tweets and stuff along those lines. And how, like, well, okay, you know, well, those bikers, oh well.
But it's that's armed bikers. When these kids here armed, have nothing on but swimming suits on, bathing suits on. They pose no threat.
But that's when you can clearly tell that your race is criminal enough, that you are inherently violent because of the color of your skin. And that is the perception that so many officers are carrying into whatever scene. It's not even a criminal scene. And maybe they weren't obeying the laws or they weren't obeying the rules of the swimming pool, but who cares? Who has not gone to a neighborhood swimming pool party and you don't live in the neighborhood? That doesn't mean that you don't belong there. That doesn't mean that there's not someone in your crew that is a part of that community. And that does not mean that these young people should be treated as criminals. That little girl is going to be scarred for the rest of her life. That is a traumatic experience. And again, going back to the fact that it's great that this man took responsibility after being very irresponsible for most of the day and resigning, but that police department owes her a whole lot more.
And the language, go back to your Section 8 housing.
That's right. Crazy.
You know, and the little white kid, I really give him a lot of credit for being there, seeing his friends.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Videotaping this thing and then saying how.
Yeah, but I think the young white man who was videotaping it was also important throughout the entire time. No cop says a word to him. He said it was as if I was invisible. And I just think that all of these people who fail for this ridiculous nonsense of we're living in a post-racial America, and then you have these fools who want to keep saying that Obama is to blame for all of these things. No. What you're seeing, and this to me is the issue, David, and I keep going back to it. The problem that we have in this country, we keep saying racist, not racist, without understanding there's a whole lot that exists in between of those two phrases 100%. That describes what really happens in America on a daily basis.
On a daily basis, and if you look at the attorney's apology and the statement, she went out of her way to say, look, he apologizes, but he did not harbor any racial prejudice. Right. And what a lot of folks, I think, don't understand when they see these situations, to your point, Roland, is that it's not so much that this guy, that we know for a fact that he doesn't like black people, it's that would he have thrown a white girl in the same situation, almost thrown her to the pavement? I'm sure it's happened before, but these incidents with African-American children keep happening over and over.
And that right there is the key. So, can you ascertain someone's motive? Do you know what's inside of their head? No, but you can look at how they react.
Yeah.
You can look at how they respond. And so you have this and granted, I get bothered when there's a new phrase for something, but when folks talk about microaggression, the reality is there are deep-seated feelings. We have stereotypes and perceptions and how we respond to somebody. And this is no different than when you are a black man in the workplace.
Right.
When you, all of a sudden, if there's an issue in the workplace, you can't raise your voice at a white woman. But I'm saying it right. But when you've seen those, I've seen the example of, oh my goodness, you were threatening.
Yeah.
When you're like, wait, hold up. But white guy last week was losing his mind screaming, and folks just said, well, you know, he's a little hot-headed.
Yeah, you're supposed to be subservient. Yeah, you're supposed to be deferring to everybody else. Any aggressive, strong black man has that place, has that problem in corporate America.
Yeah, but let's bring it back to the police, though, also, Roland, right? Because, again, look, I'll say, these neighbors, if they didn't like a bunch of kids in their pool, they have a right to ask the security guard to ask them to leave. They have a right to call the police. The police do not have a right to come there and throw a little black girl down to the pavement, though. They have to be professionals. They are public servants.
Yeah, but again, but also it goes back to, why are they calling the cops? Because the question would be, if you had a party, and again, where you had a number of white kids who were not invited, would there be the same reaction?
This
video simply causes people to say, you have to look at actually who we are in America, where we are in America, in terms of how we look at things, and we still look at stuff based upon race. So tight, 1 second, we come back. New York Police Commissioner, he says, man, I can't find enough black folks to hire because they just keep getting arrested. Mm. Yeah, we're gonna discuss that. Plus, also, experts predict minority home ownership rates will continue to drop for at least the next 2 decades. We'll explain to you why that is a huge problem. Plus, Two Sisters won the world's biggest business idea competition. They stopped by to show you their winning app. It's 11 after the hour. News 1 Now on TV One.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks, in New York, you know, they've always had an issue hiring black folks from the police department. And New York Commissioner Bill Bratton, he said, here's the answer. It is so hard for me to hire black officers because too many of y'all getting arrested going to jail. He told the Guardian newspaper, quote, we have a significant population cap among African-American males because so many of them have spent time in jail. And as such, we can't hire them, unquote. But once the article came out, Bratton claimed he never said it. Candidates for the NYPD are disqualified if they've been convicted of a crime, found guilty of a domestic violence charge, or have been dishonorably discharged from the military. Go back to our panel on this. And here's to me, was it, first of all, people have to understand, New York has the largest concentration of people of African descent of any city in America. 3.5 million. If you're trying to say you can't find enough, no. Bratton has to also own up to something. The fact of the matter is, the history of the NYPD has been, if you were white and Irish, you had a direct path to the police department. It is a culture that has excluded people. That's why they've been sued for years as well. But what he should also own up to, and that is the policing strategies also play a role in this, because when you have a school to prison pipeline, when you have the whole issue with suspensions, and then you have the issue of citations in school, you have a system that is creating this crisis that he supposedly said but didn't say.
Well, the thing about it is, this is supposed to be his second time around. I think he was there in the mid-90s.
He was?
And he was supposed to be progressive, you know, that he's going to have a different approach to policing. If you got somebody that closed-minded or that stupid to say that you can't find African-Americans for the police force, then what in the world are we in for? This is, it's supposed to be the better part of the policing team, then we're in trouble.
I think there are a couple things. One is what he calls stop, question, and frisk, but what is more widely known as stop and frisk. He was the implementer of that, and he found some creative name for it, but it is a more sophisticated version of racial profiling. And so if you racially profile people, the folks that you're more likely to stop, that you believe, like we just talked about in the last segment, are inherently criminal, those folks are more likely to get arrested, and those are the folks who are more likely to go to jail. And whether you look at New York statistics or you look nationwide, the fact of the matter is 40% of 40% of the prisons populations in this country are made up by black people. When you look at young men that were born in 2001, 1 in 3 of those black males will be in jail in this country. I don't know what those numbers are specifically to New York, but I'm willing to say that they're either on par or worse there. And even when you think about this piece that just came out in the New Yorker about this young man who's 16 years old, never convicted of a crime, but was harassed, beat, substantially abused.
In Rikers Island for three years.
And that's someone who wasn't even convicted, but again, going back
for
to
allegedly
the fact,
stealing a backpack.
But being black was the crime.
Right.
Just like we just talked about. And he has to own up to the fact that that article, him saying that in that article, whether he meant it for that piece or the other one, just goes on to define the fact that the head of your police force thinks that black people are inherently criminal and not qualified to work for you.
David, because in the next segment we're going to talk about this housing crisis.
Right.
And all of these things to me are intersected.
Yeah.
Because, and what I mean by this is, and I'm going to take this idea. So here's the issue for me when we're not on. Look at the pensions of police officers. Look at the health benefits of police officers. Mm-hmm. Look at having one of those jobs and what it means financially for your family. The point there is, when we have been systematically excluded after slavery, during Jim Crow, and even up until today from those type of jobs, you literally are having a direct impact on the lack of wealth creation in black America, the lack of home ownership, the lack of educational opportunities for your children. And so when we are excluded from these jobs in very creative ways, what it does is it simply creates and continues a permanent black underclass.
Sure.
It does. And I think with Bratton, you know, he tried to walk his comments back and re-explain it. But the problem is, to your point, Roland, is that number one, he sort of exposed, a misunderstanding, as you pointed out, before he then went to the more nuanced approach. And then he also doesn't even address what you're addressing, which is that this is a very complicated situation. It's economic. It's bad policing in some cases. It's the racial disparities that go unseen below the surface. And people like him who are city officials, and I don't know that he has any malice, but clearly not an understanding of what's going on beneath the surface. Can I just make one more point, which is that I'm glad that at least he's talking about diversity, but to me, going back to some of these incidents, McKinney, Staten Island in his jurisdiction, Cleveland, etc., I'm glad that there's an effort to have more police of color, but to me, a white police officer should also know how to treat people professionally because they have a badge and a gun, and as you said, they're getting a paycheck and a pension. Be a professional police, whether you're white or black.
Well, I think for a lot of us, we aren't necessarily connecting the dots. We're not understanding that even when we have jobs, even if they're six-figure jobs, the question is, are we on the low end or the high end? And folks say, well, you should just be happy with what you get. No. But if I am not getting the same opportunities as somebody else, you're having a direct impact on the economic future of not just me and my family, but my children's children's children. And that, to me, when you look at this police department issue here, that's why when you have 4 and 5 generations of families who are cops, you are essentially guaranteeing a job, an income, and a well-being for life for your kids. And that's what I think a lot of people don't want to have to own up to.
How's that for affirmative action?
There you go. When we come back, we're going to talk about the housing crisis in America. And folks, you want to hear this discussion because literally for black and Latinos, it is going to mean a future that is bleak economically. Also, two sisters tell us how they won the world's largest business idea competition. And it's What the Hell Thursday. And, you know, we've got some unbelievably wacky stories to break down for you. Folks, be sure to stay up to date and informed on News1.com. It is 22 after the hour. News 1 now on TV 1.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number 2, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin. Roland
folks,
Martin.
Housing issue has been one that I have focused on for the last several years right here on TV One. Most Americans, they get their wealth through the owning of their own home. During the housing foreclosure crisis, the last 7 years, black folks lost 53% of all black wealth due to this housing crisis. So where do we stand right now? Literally, black and Hispanics are going to be in position in the next two decades to essentially be renters as opposed to homeowners. That is going to have a major impact on what they're able to do in the future. We're going to talk about that right now with my guest. She is Marcia Griffin, founder and president of Home Free USA. Plus, of course, we have George Curry, we have Angela. And we have David Swerthy. All right, then. This is a huge issue. When you talk about where we stand, literally because of lending practices,
yes,
because of lack of income, because of all these factors, we literally are forcing largely black and Latinos into the area of renting, and then that's also driving up those prices.
That's
because the kind of a, there's virtually no affordable housing, and so the housing that's being built is for luxury, high-end, largely young whites in many of these different cities.
That's right.
And so that's going to cause the rent to even go up even further.
That's
some folks will be paying more for rent than they will be paying their mortgage.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the position that we're in right now. And quite frankly, there is hope. You know, what we have to get our home buyers to do is to really focus on some key issues that will that really are holding us down right now. It's very difficult to get a mortgage, but some people are. We have to really focus on our credit. We have to get a little bit of money saved. And I want everyone to know that a lot of states and a lot of local governments do have money that people aren't even aware of. This is money that they can use for down payment. There are organizations like Home Free USA and other HUD-approved housing counseling organizations that can help people with their credit. But you're exactly right. We are, and the market is designed for renters, to push African Americans, Latinos into renting. A lot of the Wall Street guys have come here. They bought properties all over the country.
Now, hold that point, because I don't want you to run over that. Because what folks don't realize, first of all, of course, we bail the banks out. They have now partnered with hedge funds where they literally are going into cities and buying up lots, 25, 50,000 homes, and they are essentially, these hedge funds, becoming landlords.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But let's deal with policy, because what do we need to do to be forcing the folks behind us to do? Because public policy plays a role in this. Folks got mad at me. I was highly critical of President Barack Obama and HUD, for I felt that they had failure after failure to deal with the housing piece.
Mm-hmm.
There were NAACP and others were pushing them to have a moratorium on home foreclosures. Andrew Young was pushing that as well. Every time then Housing Secretary Sean Donovan came on my show, Washington Watch, I said, you know, you come in with a new housing plan, meaning the previous one didn't work.
That's right.
And so, and that's just, I mean, the Inspector General report shows that HAMP was supposed to help 4 million homeowners, it helped 700,000.
That's right.
So public policy-wise, what must we be doing to get them to change public policy to deal with the issue of home ownership?
Well, Roland, you know that we are in a catch-22 with the kind of political structure that we have. I would suggest that people certainly be in touch with their congressional leaders. We have to let them know where we're going, but also be in touch with the Republican leaders.
Yes, yes.
I mean, we need to be on top of them and give them a sense of the fact that it's their people that's also being heard. It's not just African Americans. I mean, everyone is being heard.
Well, first of all, if you look at the numbers, the poorest, some of the poorest counties in America are actually Republican districts.
Absolutely.
Right. So,
absolutely.
So that's not it. On the public policy piece, again, I'm trying to connect the dots beyond just where you're just owning a home, because you got 1.9 million black-owned businesses. If you can't typically get a loan from the bank, you have your home. So now, no home, no loan, no job, no business. And mm-hmm. So, for black women, 1.1 million of those businesses are black women. And so, people have to understand this house thing. That's not just a house. It literally impacts your generation.
Absolutely.
I I think that's absolutely right. I think the other thing that we have to be mindful of, and Roland, you just talked about this, with how hard our wealth was hit through the mortgage crisis. And I think that there's some legitimate fear about home ownership. But there's a whole nother side of this equation, and that is affordable housing. The Fair Housing Act and the fact that people have been playing the rules by the law, by the words in the law,
yeah.
But there's still been some kind of undercurrents of racism in the way in which affordable housing is mapped out. So HUD is just rolling out a rule now that would provide grant money to richer communities to ensure that people can live in affordable housing units there. That will provide
affordable housing now in some cities is $400,000 or $500,000.
But housing has also been just put in our poorer neighborhoods where we don't have access to great schools, great grocery stores,
right.
Et cetera. So that's another big piece to this, I think.
A couple of years ago, the Urban League State of Black America report, and it said during the Great Recession, African Americans lost the wealth they had created the previous three decades.
Absolutely.
How do we move from that great loss to the point that you can increase home ownership?
That's an excellent question, and I might say that where wealth is concerned, 92% of the wealth for African Americans is in our homes. So we have to get back to home ownership at some point.
And it's very high for whites as well.
No question. So how do we get back? Number one, we really need to be better informed. I mean, honestly, there are things happening in the homeownership space, in the political space, in the housing space, that really is passing us by. And,
yep.
And we have to be on top of where we are. We have to be on top of the political people that are in our local districts. I mean, we have to really get the word out, just like we're talking about Black Lives Matter. I mean, Black homeownership matters. Black money matters. I mean, this is true. We've got to get on top of the game.
Yeah, but David.
Yeah, Black wealth matters. I mean, that's the thing, right?
Absolutely.
It's that if you see the Black and brown population going up, but the Black and brown percentage of home ownership going down, in my mind, it's okay if some people want to rent or there's some circumstance where people rent.
Right.
But the fact that our home ownership rates are going down is the symptom that we don't have the wealth.
Yeah, because
or the credit.
Because according to the Pew Center study, it came out in December 2014 on medium average wealth. For whites, it was $141,000. For Hispanics, it was $13,700. For African Americans, it was $11,000.
Right.
But between 2010 and 2013, because whites typically are more diversified, mm-hmm. it went up 2.4% for them.
Mm.
Went up 2.4%.
Mm-hmm.
Hispanics, it went down about 14%. African Americans went down 33.7%.
But you know one thing, Roland, let me just say, where home ownership is concerned, we have to understand the requirements for becoming a homeowner. It's not like it was years ago. I mean, these guys are on it. Your credit, I mean, people are getting denied with a 722 credit score. I mean, that's very high. You know, so we've got to have our credit in order. We have to have the right information.
Yeah, but if you're getting denied with a 722, hell, you might as well hang it up for most people in this country.
A lot of people are getting denied, but there are certain programs that are out here that will allow you to buy a home. Now, it's not in the 400. I'm telling you that right now. But in the high 600, 700. But people need to know about that. Even people, our people who have good credit, they don't have the money. They don't have the down payment to buy.
Right.
And there are lenders have programs. Here you're talking about information as well as governments, local and state.
All right. Where can folks reach you? What's your website?
Our website is homefreeusa, all one word, .org.
All right. We sure appreciate it. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
Pleasure. All right, Pam. Thanks a bunch as well. When we come back, we'll talk to two sisters who showed their social media app. They won the largest business idea competition in the world. They'll explain to us how it happened. Also, a critter in a commode? What the hell? Well, it's What the Hell Thursday. We'll break it down for you. Hit me up on Twitter at Roland S. Martin or go to News One as well. Or visit our News One Facebook page. It is 25 before top of the hour. This is News One Now on TV One.
Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News One Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks. So we talk a lot about STEM and technology on this show as well. And it's also a question of who are the folks who are actually making the big bucks when it comes to technology. Well, my next two guests, Lauren Washington and Angel. Is it Angel Davis?
Angel.
Angel. What up, Angel?
Yeah.
I'm about to say that. Angela.
Yeah.
Angel.
Angel.
Folks, they created an app
that won them first place prize at the world's largest business idea competition, and they took home $250,000. The app called Keep Up helps you get all of your social media updates in one place. Lauren and Angel join me right now. So, all right, so let's talk about this app. Okay, so what does it mean? So, all right, so you keep it up in one place. And so there's a site called Rebel Mouse that sort of does that, something like that. You can send everything. You go to like Hootsuite and send everything. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. In the meantime, also Henry, I have someone bring my iPad, please, so I can plug it up. So let's talk about it. Keep up. Yeah. So tell me about it.
So Keep Up is really your personal assistant for social media and notifies you of the important events happening in your friends and family's lives by reading through all of your social media, like weddings, engagements.
Okay, I'm not
new
trying.
New job,
to,
promotion.
I ain't trying to know all that stuff.
Graduation.
No. All right, so how does it work? How does it work?
So we basically scan all of your social media sites and we're looking for trending events because I know, you know, sometimes when you go to social media, you miss that someone just had a baby or that someone graduated.
Are y'all on the Apple App Store right now?
We are in the App Store right now.
What is it called?
It's called Keep Up Social Media Manager.
Okay, all right.
We just launched our beta last week, so basically that means we're testing things out. We want users to join.
You gotta understand, I'm a huge social media person.
Oh yeah, okay.
So
yeah,
I'm. all right, so okay, so y'all, you know, keep talking. I'm downloading the app. I'm gonna test y'all out right now.
Yeah. So we essentially created this app because we were so overwhelmed with social media. We wanted to, you know, make social media social again.
Right.
And it's become very cluttered with a lot of content, cat memes, and instant starting videos. And I'm glad I didn't miss, you know, that little girl doing Aretha Franklin. But sometimes I'm too busy to scan through all of that stuff. And I really just want to know what's important in my friends' lives. So.
And there's really nothing out there like this for consumers. So you mentioned Hootsuite, but that's for businesses. So this really makes it easy, automated for users to take care of their social media and cut through that clutter.
All right. So does it read everything? Do you put in specific information that you want? Or
it's completely automated because, again, we're trying to make this as simple as possible for people who feel overwhelmed but still want to make that personal connection on their social media. So
just one advice I have, you need to tell the Apple people, because if you type in, no, seriously, but I typed in Keep Up and your app didn't come up. Like 10 other ones came up. I had to type in Keep Up Social Media. Mm-hmm. Then it came up. Mm-hmm. So I need to make sure they have y'all in the word search. But go right here.
Absolutely.
I told y'all. Come on now. I use this stuff.
That's the point of the beta, is so that we can really get that feedback and understand what users want and need and what they're seeing. And that helps us build the future of our app and the future of our company.
iPad, Shelly. All right, so pull it up. All right, so let's get started. Okay, so choose the networks you want to track and the friends you want to follow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can go on here and you can, so we have Facebook, Twitter, Google Hangouts, is that LinkedIn?
LinkedIn.
Okay,
Tumblr,
gotcha.
And
Tumblr as well.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So all of those can be in one location.
Exactly.
So as opposed to having to go to each one, you can do that. So, all right, cool. So Shelly, keep on the iPad. Keep on the iPad, okay? So going through this here, so you can pick what do you want to hear about? So anniversary, birthday.
Yes.
Okay, so let's say I don't care about their birthdays. okay, how do you, let's say
this is the intro.
So it just tells you exactly.
Okay,
you
know, cool. See all your friends, okay, managing one feed. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. All right, cool. So let's do it. All right, cool. So then now you just go through and you log in all your different ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can choose which sites you want to track. You can choose the people on the sites you want to track. And then you can also choose which events out of the 12 you want to get notified of. So it really is customized to what you want and how you want to cut through that clutter of social media.
So y'all won the $250,000. So what are y'all going to do with it?
So we've been working over the past several months doing development. So
I'm not ignoring y'all. I'm actually on your app. So go ahead.
So we've been doing development. We were a part of this competition, 43 North, and it's out of Buffalo, New York. And so they were giving away 11 different prizes. So we won $250,000. There were prizes of $500,000, and then there was one $1 million prize.
Gotcha.
So with the money, we've been working on developing this app. We have a team of developers, and we have a few people working on our marketing and on our back-end database as well.
And again, there are very few
of us who are really in this space. And so it's a whole different world.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, amazing to be in this technology space, because even now that we've, you know, dived right in and created this business, we really do see, you know, that we are unique in who we are in creating kind of a solution like this. But, you know, the more diversity that there is in tech, the more different perspectives and innovative solutions that will be created. So.
Okay. All right then. So cool. All right. So I've signed up. Looks like you don't have any new events. I hate the events on DigiDrive. And so you can go in here. All right. Mm-hmm. Cool. So like, if I want to see all of it, do I just go to social networks?
Go to notifications.
Notifications.
Yep. And you'll see the different events that we track. So we're tracking 12 specific life events that we're looking for.
Okay.
And again, these are reasons to celebrate.
I don't care if they got a new job. I don't care if they got a promotion. New home. We had a housing segment. I'll go ahead and stick with that. All right, city move, news mentioned, new pet, hell no. I don't care about that. All right, so we all good there. So yeah. But to see all of them, where do I go?
Go to the event feed right now.
Got event feed.
Exactly. So it'll take some time because it's literally through all of your friends on social media, but you'll see events in there.
All right, cool. All right, well, sounds groovy. All right, I'm going to test it out. I'm going to send y'all some feedback.
Please do. Yeah. All right. That's what we want everyone to test out.
I'm going to blow y'all up.
Feedback. Yeah. We appreciate it.
All right, so folks, the app is Keep Up. Again, if you go to the App Store, type in Keep Up Social Media, because if you put in Keep Up, you're not going to be able to find it because I just tried it. All right, Lauren and Angel, I appreciate it. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so
much. Folks, we come back. What the hell? Right here, Mr. Ray, Kitty Kaboom, and Sixth Sense. They're joining us to break down some of the crazy stories right here on News 1 Now and TV 1.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Birthday shout-out time. Minnesota Lynx forward Maya Moore turns 26. Actor Johnny Brown, best known as Bookman on Good Times, turns 78. And Representative Charlie Rango, my alpha brother, he turns 85 years old today. All right, folks, it's What the Hell Thursday. You always know we got some wild and crazy stuff on the show today. Let's break it down right now with, we have here, we TV correspondent, Mr. Ray. We have radio host Kitty Kaboom, who just came back from Disney World. Got her damn hair looking like some Mickey Mouse ears. Right, yes, precisely. And she clearly couldn't get a shirt because she wanted everybody to see her bra, whatever.
Oh,
okay, looking all, yes, sitting Sixth Sense, a.k.a. Lawrence Kelly. And so, all right, we ain't going to show you these pants she got on, these hot pants she got on, looking like a pylon. Go hold my parking spot. Just go ahead and stand out there. Let's get right to it. One Australian woman, see? Right, you shouldn't have run your mouth during the break. One Australian woman, okay, uh-huh. Yeah, keep talking, go shake it.
It's all good, Matchy Matchy.
Hi, it's all about
Steve
Mickey.
Harvey,
one Australian woman, tired of being bombarded by reporters after testifying for a murder case. Yeah, I know. She put a cigarette out on a reporter's face. The woman was arrested and charged with being a public nuisance. Now, roll that video back again.
She got her good.
First of all, now watch this here. Watch this here. Roll it back. Roll it back. Roll it back. Roll it back. Okay, first she gonna blow the cigarette
right
there. Woulda smacked her. That, right there. Right then. Oh, then she gonna put. Did he touch the face?
I woulda smacked her. Wham!
Let y'all know right now. I'm just letting y'all know right now. Her ass wouldn't be smiling.
To jail.
First of all, she wouldn't have got off. Once you threw this, that in and of itself, you blew smoke in my face.
I woulda snatched her.
That's enough of it. Okay, that woulda been a wrap.
That's a wrap snatch.
And then they had the nerve to come at her from both sides. She said, "Oh, I got this."
And see, that's her home.
She didn't even break her stride.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Right there.
Right. Right. All she could do is just tripped her.
Something.
Tripped her up, kicked her in her back. Something.
That's fine.
That
all right.
Fighting.
All right. Let's go to a former employer of Kitty Kaboom. A Las Vegas strip club is recruiting new dancers from the 2015 high school graduating class. The Little Darlings Adult Entertainment Club is promising recent grads up to $1,000 per night.
What are we signing up at?
Club management says it's a great way to pay for tuition. Recent graduate Kitty, what do you think about this here?
Well, you see, back in the day when I was on pole, wasn't nobody on the goddamn pole.
How long ago was that?
Whatever. When I was in school, I remember.
You know, she couldn't spin around one time for falling. Go on here. Go on here. You know
that. My equilibrium.
Yeah, yeah. You know she got vertigo. Don't even try.
That's funny.
I don't have the assets. I don't have the assets for stripping.
Oh, okay.
Jump out there. They're in the front.
I thought you were sitting there auditioning.
So
I thought you were auditioning.
mamas trying to put them themselves through school.
Everybody can't get financial aid.
But they got to do something with what they got.
But how are you going to start? How you you can't be recruiting.
Not high school.
Not high school, though.
Some people are not high school and out of college material. And if they still want to be stubborn and go to college, I say let them go. But they don't get the financial aid to go.
But that should not be your plan A, B, or C.
That should not even be a backup.
But some girls strip and don't even take it all off. They might just go topless and keep the bottom off.
Okay.
You know about your connoisseur? So
right,
what, like when the last time you were there?
I've been to a stadium down the street.
And I've been to stadium. Oh, the panties on?
Last week, and I got the wig. I was there for happy hour.
Week?
I was being very classy.
Is that right? The classy with a wing in his hand, and a drink, and a drink.
Wow.
I'm just saying, if these young girls do want to go to college and this is the way they can make money, I'd rather them do that than be out here selling drugs or something crazy.
Right.
I'd rather them get a scholarship.
There's security to get
in.
There's security to get in. They're safe while they're in there.
How about you just study your books and get a scholarship?
Because you're right.
You can get a scholarship. Once you get a scholarship, that doesn't mean you have to still keep stripping. But to at least get in there.
Because there's definitely no chance.
You know what?
I'm
going to a break right now because there is way too much strip-ology going
on. I'm liberal.
From Mr. Ray up here. He's like breaking down.
Okay.
He's breaking down the strip. He's breaking down the stripper manual right now. So let me go to a break. We get ready. You know a couple, right? Right. Just lean to the left.
They know you.
Right. Just lean to the left. All right. I'm Roland Martin. This is News 1 Now, TV 1. Back in a moment.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
All right, folks, we're back with Mr. Ray, Kitty Kaboom with two balled up fists on top of her head, and we have six. Sorry, let's go right to our next story. How far would you go to save your pets? Well, one Sacramento man fought a bear. Ignorant 73-year-old Carl Moore found a 300-pound bear climbing onto his porch towards his little dog, Poochie. He chased the bear and punched it several times. Moore is an ex-Marine and former boxer who exercises daily. All right, go ahead.
Right
no,
okay. He's
all
right. What the real weapon is
Poochie,
all about.
Poochie would have been lunch.
Yeah. Okay.
300-pound bear. Nah.
That is crazy. After you see the chickens get taken, the dog is just a casualty of war. You decided to live somewhere where there's a bear that's coming at you.
Hold on. Now, that's the most important thing. What the hell are you living somewhere where they got bears?
Exactly.
300-pound bear.
And no woman.
The woman's gone.
Snatch a chicken. That's a black bear, too. It's a black bear snatching chicken.
I'm telling y'all right now. Right. And look, we got folks who work on this show. I know people. But I'm just letting y'all know. We ain't never done one of these stories, and it's a black person living.
Never.
Ever.
Ever.
I don't know. Tim, can you explain? Tim is our whitish correspondent.
We like him. We like
Tim. Tim, y'all get a shot. Tim, can you explain what I mean?
Hey,
explain. I don't understand. Yeah. I don't.
What's with the bands?
West Virginia.
Well, there you have it.
Wow. Okay, Tim says
it's okay.
There's a lot of white folks in West Virginia.
Folks only go to West Virginia to the casino.
It ain't gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. I'm serious. Well, I mean,
that's a Marine, though.
I'm just pointing out a fact. I have never
a Marine.
I don't care if he a Marine. You ain't never. When last time you seen us do one of these stories where somebody black went on safari and they got eaten up?
Never.
Never.
Black folks don't do
it. We stand at the hotel.
Yep.
We look at the forest. We're not going in it.
Listen, let me help all y'all.
Like
if y'all want to see a lion up close,
the zoo is
if y'all want to see a bear up close, there's a channel called National Geographic.
How about
exactly.
It is.
That's right.
And that's about as close
you can,
as you need
get
to
it
be.
In HD, 4K. You can zoom in.
Exactly.
In fact, just walk up to the damn TV and just touch
it.
I'm just saying.
And the red line take you right up
there.
Get personal with it.
But if you do go, bring Kitty with you, because they will.
Whoa.
They will. They will eat a little kitty.
Oh,
They will. Especially she come with them pom-poms
yes,
on her head.
Yes, indeed. They love
all right,
the kitty
folks,
cat.
That's right.
Who don't love them some kitty cat?
Don't
want to speak on it?
We will pass. We'll pass on that kitty cat right there. All right, then. Tomorrow, Johnny Gill's on the show. He'll talk about success in the music industry. All right, I got to go, folks. Y'all have a great one. Kitty, go put on a real shirt.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.